It's a good morning, everyone. Would you stand with me for a moment? One, two. We're in the presence of the Lord this morning. Would you just lift your hands to Him if you're willing? Open your heart to Him. Lord, we are here this morning, first and foremost, to hear from You. We're here to hear from You this morning, Lord. We've come to know You as a living God,
yes.
A speaking God,
yes.
A very present help.
Yes.
Your word says that he who has ears to hear can hear.
Yes.
And so may You find us this morning, people who hear You. In all that's already been said this morning, and in all that will be said for the rest of the morning, may we leave this place today knowing that we've heard You,
yes.
That we've met with You,
yes.
That we've been changed by You,
yes.
And that we're more useful in Your service. Lord, this is not a time for us to speak, it's a time for You to speak. It's not a time for our opinions, it's a time for Your revelation. And we open ourselves up to Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your seats if you will, please. And I say that we have lots and lots of contributions ready this morning. Lots of people have said lots of things this morning. And in it all, there were a number of things that really caught my attention. One in particular was the story that Maggie shared with us just as our time in the, came to a close. Because she told us a story of how God had spoken something to her. God had spoken something over her life. That she was to gather people together.
Yeah.
And so she started doing it.
Yeah.
And the Lord was gracious to her and gave her an opportunity to do it in a safe space, shall we say. That's the wrong term in this day and age. But he gave her an opportunity to do it. And then he has launched her out into the world to see the fulfillment of that word.
Yeah.
Because God is a God who speaks with purpose and plan. He's a God who speaks with intent. He doesn't say one thing and do another. If he says you're going to be healthy, you're going to be healthy. If he says one day you'll be married, one day you'll be married. If he says that you're going to live till 120, how long are you going to live for? You're going to live till you're 120. Whatever the Lord says, he's capable. He's able to do it. And Maggie is a great example, just that story she told this morning, of someone who responds rightly to what God says. When God speaks to us, it's an invitation for us to participate in his purpose. And I was reminded this a few weeks ago when I was at one of our life groups. So if you've been coming here regularly, if you're a member here, if you've been coming on for a while, you know that we meet here on a Sunday morning and we meet in homes across the city during the week. And we break down into smaller groups and we meet together. And I was in our particular life group a few weeks ago and we were talking together about different things that we felt God wanted us to grow up in, where areas where we needed to change. And one of the guys was saying, God is challenging me to be more courageous. And he's put it on my heart to be more brave, to lay my hands on sick people and see them recover. And again, if you've been coming along for us for some time, if you're a Christian, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that one of God's promises is that he wants people to be healthy. God does not want people to be sick. And he's made lots of promises and lots of provisions in his word to make people who are sick healthy. And one of them is that if we lay our hands upon the sick, they will recover. So my friend was stirred by this and he was saying, God has put this into my heart that I need to be more diligent in laying my hands on the sick and seeing them recover. And as we were talking in the group, I realized that the man sat immediately next to me was sick. And I did a bit of, you know, spiritual mathematics. So I went 2 + 2 = a miracle. So we brought our friend over who'd said he wanted to see people healed and he laid his hands on this sick person. And hey, guess what happened? He was healed because God had put something into his heart that he wanted him to do. He'd responded in faith by saying it out loud. And then God gave him the opportunity to do it. And when he did it, God did exactly what he promised he would do. And that is the Christian life. God speaks to us.
Yes.
We believe what he says.
Yes.
We speak out what he says. And we do what he says. It is simple. God speaks to us. We believe what he says. We speak out what he says. And we do what he says. And when we do what he tells us to do, what he said would happen, happens. And I had the chance to share a story with you a couple of weeks ago, a story from the Gospels that we're going to look at again this morning in Luke chapter 5. If you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to have a look at a story that shows us some simple things about the Christian life, some simple things about living by faith that show us that we are designed to hear from God, to believe him, to speak out what he says, and to do what he tells us to do. And that when we do what he tells us to do, what he said will happen, happens. But it's only going to happen if we do what he's told us to do. We love obedience, don't we? Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible this morning called the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And this is what it says. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you'll be catching people." And they brought their boats to the land, left everything, and followed him. And we had the chance to look at this story a couple of weeks ago, and in case you weren't with us, or in case you don't remember it too well, we talked about some very simple, some very basic things about the life of faith, which is the area that God has spoken to us as a church this year that he wants us to grow in. He's told us that there is nothing he can't do. He's told us that he's the God of the impossible, that he's faithful to his word.
Amen.
And we look together at the fact that the foundation of our faith is hope, that we have a confident expectation and view of the future. We know that our future is certain because our future is determined by God.
Amen.
He knows the plans he has for us, and they're plans to give us a future and a hope. Well, at least that's what he believes. You can choose to believe that today. He believes he's got a great future for you. And my job is to make sure that I meet God's faith with my faith. God has faith in his ability. He has faith in his word. He has faith in his power. And he has loaned me his faith so that I can put my faith in him. So he has good plans for me, and I say, "Lord, you've got good plans for me."
Amen.
We saw that the foundation of our faith is the fact that there is a God who is faithful.
Yes.
He's never let you down. He's never told a lie. He'll never quit on you. He'll never change his mind. He's a good and faithful God every day of the week, all the time. Doesn't take a holiday, doesn't need a rest, doesn't have a snooze, doesn't fall asleep. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's always good. He's always great. He's always loving. He's always kind. That's what he believes. And we saw that the fuel of our faith, that which is going to keep us moving more and more and more, it's not singing songs about faith. It's not saying faith this. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. My faith is going to grow as I hear his word and believe it. As I take that faith and I put it in the mixing bowl of my life and I stir it around with faith. So that I and his word become one. Now this is a story for me that shows us so many of the simple things that we need in order to live the life of faith. So let's work our way through it one more time. We've done it once already a few weeks ago. But notice this, that Jesus is in the middle of teaching the word of God. He is speaking out the word of God. So this is an opportunity for all these people around this lake at this time to grow in their faith because Jesus is sowing out the fuel of their faith. And Jesus goes into this area and he looks around and he sees two boats. He sees two boats, he sees a group of fishermen and he sees them cleaning their nets. But there's one thing that should be there that's not there. Fish. When you see fishermen, boats and nets, you would expect to see some fish, wouldn't you? But there's no fish. Jesus looks and he sees an opportunity for a miracle. You see, the obstacles people face in everyday life are the opportunities for us to see miracles. Don't run away and hide when your neighbor comes to ask for help. That's the door that God has opened for you to bring them the kingdom of God. And so Jesus gets into one of these boats and he starts teaching the word of God. And having finished his teaching, having finished declaring the word of God to these crowds, he looks at Simon who's lent him his boat and he gives Simon a very clear, very confident command. He says to him, put out your boats into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I love the fact that God is so clear and so simple when he tells us what to do. He is not complicated in his instructions to us. So he says to Simon, put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. It's a clear, confident command. Simon Peter knows exactly what to do and he knows exactly what to expect. This is important when it comes to the life of faith. It's not only that we should know what God is telling us to do, God will show us what to expect when we obey him. Let me give you an example. The word of God says they will lay their hands upon the sick, but we don't know what will happen after that. No, the scripture says we'll lay our hands upon the sick and what will happen? That's right. So you know exactly what to do and you know exactly what to expect. Now we've looked at this before, but Simon then responds in what I think is the great, great example of how to respond to God in faith. God has said to him, put out your nets and let them down for a catch. And Simon says, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, but at your word, we'll let down the nets. And so first of all, he acknowledges, he says, Master, he acknowledges that the one speaking to him is greater. Do you ever find this when you're in the presence of someone that you really respect, that you've learned to esteem, that you know is greater than you, is an expert in this area, you're very quickly quiet, aren't you? Someone comes in this morning and they're an expert in a particular field, a particular part of the society, a particular, they have an expertise, they've proved themselves over years and years. We're going to sit and we're going to listen because we acknowledge you are the expert. And there's no greater expert than God himself. We've come this morning to hear him. And so Simon says, Master, he's saying you're the greater one. And then Simon acknowledges the situation, the circumstance he faces. We toiled all night and we caught nothing. Because faith can only operate when we've acknowledged the circumstance that we face. Faith doesn't put its fingers in its ears and close its eyes and la, 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 la. No. Faith can only operate when we acknowledge the impossibility of the situation that we face. Because Simon not only acknowledged the situation he faced, he acknowledged that the reality of God's word is always greater. At your word, we'll let down the nets. The Bible is full of stories of people taking God at his word, overcoming circumstances, and finding out that God's word is always the greatest reality. God comes to Abraham, a man who's 75 years old. He and his wife can't have children. But God says to him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And I don't know if you ever have this experience, but sometimes when I'm facing challenges in my life, I think to myself, is this as hard as God giving a 75-year-old man a child? Sometimes I think to myself when I'm facing a difficulty, is this really as difficult as the Holy Spirit making a virgin pregnant with a child like he did with Mary and Jesus? It gives us some perspective, doesn't it? If God can do it for Abraham, if God can do it for Noah, if God can do it for David, if God can do it for Elijah and Caleb and Joshua, God can do it for you, my friends. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we find that Simon, as we looked at last time, he looks at Jesus. He's heard the word. He says to Master, we've toiled all night, but at your word, I'll let down the nets. He begins this journey of faith by speaking out what God had spoken to him. Jesus had said, let down your nets. And Simon says, I'll let down my nets. And that's a vital part of the Christian life. It's a vital part of the life of faith that we've got to keep before us all the time. God wants us to be people who speak like him. That doesn't just mean, by the way, that we simply repeat what he says in parrot fashion. It means that we're also speaking in the same spirit and the same life and the same power and the same authority as his words carry. So that when you speak to a sickness and tell it to leave, it listens because it recognizes the voice of authority. It's not how clever we speak. It's not how well we phrase our sentences. It's not if, I make my prayers rhyme or my prophecies chime. It's, do the words I speak have faith in the God who spoke them? You see, faith hears God's word, faith believes God's word, and faith speaks out God's word. I'm just going to hammer this point a little bit longer. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Because when I came to a life group this week, one of the students in our life group was teaching us all about the power of words. And I want to read one of the verses that she read to us on Wednesday. Faith hears God, faith believes God, faith speaks like God. I know it's quiet at the moment, but I trust that's just because you're listening so intently to the Holy Spirit. As long as you go out the rest of the week and speak faith, I don't mind you listening now. Proverbs chapter 12 is all about speaking, but there's a verse in particular that I love very much, and this is read to us on Wednesday evening, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the words of his mouth, and the work of a man's hands will reward him. A man will be satisfied with good by the words of his mouth. You can satisfy yourself. You can create a good life for yourself. You can create the environment that you're living in through the words that you speak. I'll leave you to think about that. But maybe next time your feet are hurting, don't say my shoes are killing me. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Because it's great to say that faith hears God. It's great to say that faith believes God. And it's really great to learn the power of our words. But faith is void without action. And it's important that we get all the other building blocks in. We're not in any rush. We're building for eternity when we talk about these things. But we've got to get it right in our minds that faith is void without action. That's why I loved Maggie's story this morning. She hadn't taken the prophetic word and put it on the wall and forgotten about it. She hadn't polished it in her notebook so everyone could see it. She was living it out. Don't tell me the prophecy you got 10 years ago. Show me it through the way you're living today. And so faith does God's word. That's terrible grammar, but great theology. Okay. So look at verse 6 of Luke chapter 5. Verse 6 of Luke chapter 5 very simply says this. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. When they did this, what did they do? All those answers are right. Well done, okay? What did they do? They let down their nets. They did what Jesus told them to do. They put the word of God into practice. What did they do? They let down their nets. What did they do? They did what Jesus told them to do. What did they do? They put the word of God into practice. Have you done what God has told you to do? I'm not here to make you feel guilty this morning or bring you into any sense of condemnation whatsoever. That's impossible if you're a Christian. But we ask yourself this question this morning. Are there things that the Lord is telling me to do that I need to do, that I need to be more diligent in doing? If you do what he's told you to do, you'll get what he's told you you'll get. You see, what happened? What happened when they did what Jesus told them to do? What happened was exactly what Jesus said. They got a catch of fish. What happened? Something bigger and something better than they could have expected. What happened? Something beyond their present experience and expertise. This was the largest catch of fish they'd ever seen. These guys were experienced fishermen. These guys were so successful, they'd launched a business together. There's at least four or five of them in this business, and yet they had never seen a catch like this. One of the things that would have taken their breath away was the fact that they caught so much fish in the daytime. You read the Gospels, you see, when Peter goes out fishing, he goes out fishing at night. It was a night job. He would go out fishing at night. And yet, in the middle of the day, this carpenter dude from Nazareth says, go and catch some fish. And Simon says, at your word, Lord, I'll go. And he brings the next night's catch into the present day. Because faith brings the certainty of the future into the present reality of the now. My friends, are you ready for the results of your obedience to God's word? Are you prepared for the bumper crop that's coming when you put his word into practice? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your house? Have you got a big enough car for all the results of your obedience to God's word? Because he is able to do far more than you'd ever dare to ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. Do you know what? I've never had an answer to prayer from God that's disappointed me. Oh, I mean, God, you answered the last one you answered really well, but this one, Lord, I mean, you're really scraping the barrel here. God's not like that. Friends, are you ready for the results of your obedience to God? Are you dreaming with faith about the future that God has for you? Are you going into the scriptures, preparing yourself with things ready to disciple all those people that you're asking God to use you to save? Are you stirring up the words of knowledge and words of wisdom that you know you're going to need as God takes you out to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Because this isn't theory. This isn't a game we're playing. This is life we're living, and it's life in the kingdom. And God is always able to do what he says he's going to do. So I'm going to give you a few things this morning, a few areas where I believe the Lord wants us to grow in putting our faith into practice. Okay, they're very simple, they're very effective, they'll work if you do them. Anybody can put these things into practice. And the very first thing I believe that the Lord wants to use us more and more as we put our faith into practice is very simply this, in speaking. And in particular, sharing the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. Yeah. Speaking. This week, I met with a man who's been a friend of my family for some years, and he's going through probably the worst period of his life. For the last 6 months, he's been off work, he's had depression, he's had all kinds of tragic things happen in his life, and through a situation and circumstance, he asked if he and I could meet together. And you know, you're praying and you're preparing that you want to do the best you can to meet this guy. He doesn't know anything about Jesus. Never been to church. And different permutations go through your mind of what you could do. Maybe he just needs a friend. Maybe he needs someone to sit and listen to him. Maybe he needs a guy to do a hobby with. But the Holy Spirit made it really clear to me as I was praying that he would give me an opportunity to share the gospel with him. And I had to be prepared for that. So I had to work out, okay, well, what do you want me to say? What is it that you want me to emphasize? And he showed me that he wanted me to draw him a picture. Now, those of you who know me think, James Aubrey drawing pictures is like, you know, cheese and water. It just doesn't work. So I took a pencil and I took a piece of paper along with me. And he was pouring out his heart, telling me this story about all the things that were going on in his life. And I was just listening away. And all the way through, the Holy Spirit was just reminding me, I'm going to give you an opportunity to preach the gospel to him. Just be at peace. And he begins to talk about how his dream has always been to draw. He's always wanted to have a company where he could design things. And well, going on and on. So I got my piece of paper and I got my pencil and said, could I show you something? So I drew him this little thing to explain the gospel and I presented Jesus to him. And he sat there and said, that is a really big decision, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. And he took the piece of paper and he put it into his diary. And he folded it up and he said to me, the strangest thing happened this morning. He said, I was walking my son to school. He's 6 years old. And he turned to me, and this family are not Christians. And the boy turned to him and said, Daddy, I believe everybody should follow Jesus. Here's me on one end thinking, God, you've told me to do something. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know when I'm going to get opportunity. You want me to draw a picture? I cried in nursery school when they made me do colouring in. Me? But I just did what he told me to do. There are opportunities for every one of us this week to share the gospel with people in this city. Will you get ready and will you take the chance? That's the first one. We can be people who speak. Here's the second one. People who sow. People who sow. And in particular, being those who meet practical needs, either through giving away money or giving away food, clothing, or other possessions. Now, this might seem a strange one, and particularly to say to a group of people who are such a generous church. But I believe the Lord wants us to take us even further in our generosity. And for many of us here today, you're facing challenges. Maybe you have a financial need. Maybe you have a material need. Maybe you have a practical need. And the solution for you is not to ask more people for help, but to sow more seed to others. I'll tell you a story. This happened some years ago, but I was about to start a new university course. Maybe I'm telling this story because there are students here today. But I was starting a master's course, and I didn't have any of the money to pay for the course. And I came to a meeting just like this, and there was a man preaching at this lectern, and he said, if you will sow money into the kingdom, I will use it to advance God's purposes. And all I had was £20. That's the only thing I had. And I thought, I'll do that. So I got up and I put £20 down and went and sat down again. And a man saw me outside, another man. He said, I saw what you did and gave that man money. I'm going to give you 100-fold of what you gave that man. So that's £2,000, isn't it? Did I get that right? Yeah. I thought, well, that's fantastic. That pays some of my fees, but not all of my fees. And then the next day, someone came along again, and they gave me £3,000. So I tried to give the £2,000 back to the first man, and he wouldn't receive it. So suddenly, I went from having 20 pounds within 40 hours of having 5,000, which was great. That paid all my tuition fees. And then, and this is how the Lord always exceeds what you need. I didn't realize, he knew this, that I was going to meet a lady and get engaged to her not soon after. And I already had the money to buy the engagement ring. Because, you know, God will always meet your need in a bigger way than you can think. I don't know why the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you that story today, but he told me to tell you that story. So this is another area where we can grow in our faith. We can be those who speak, who share his word, and we can be those who sow, who give away generously to others in need. Here's the third thing. Here's another area where the Lord wants to use us more and more in faith. He wants to use us to set people free. And in particular, like a story I shared with you at the beginning, he wants us to use our authority to heal the sick. Let me tell you a story. A little while ago, a lady came to me. She's in the church. She came to me with her child and said, "Please, will you pray for my child? They've been sick for 2 years now. There's nothing the doctors can do. They don't know what's wrong. Please, will you pray?" I said, "Yes, of course I will." We prayed. She believed, the child believed, I believed. And when I saw them afterwards, a little while later, they said, "There's not been any problems at all since you prayed." Did I pray an eloquent prayer? No. Did I pray a long prayer? No. We just believed and we asked God to do what he's promised to do. Last year we were doing some outreach work on the campus, and we were giving out some leaflets to people, inviting them to a meeting, and a man maybe 50 years old or so came up to us and began to make fun of us and taunt us and say, "You know, Jesus isn't real, he doesn't exist." And he said, "Well, you know, if this Jesus really is real, then he can do something about my leg, can't he?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I can't walk properly, my knee is all mashed up. If your God's real, he could do something about this, can't he?" And I said, "Yes, he can." "Go on then." I said, "Okay, fine." So I knelt down and then I was absolutely terrified and absolutely certain that God would heal him. There's a little verse in the Psalms that says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." The question is not what happens when you're afraid, it's what do you do when you're afraid. When I'm afraid, I trust in him. So I knelt down in front of this guy, put my hand on his knee. I prayed the worst prayer of all time. I think I might have even taken authority over Jesus' own name. It was just all over the place. I was tongue-tied and tongue-twisted, but I believed in my heart. So this guy screamed, "What have you done?" He said, "What have you done?" "It's fine." And he ran off. He nearly got hit by a bus. And he ran down Park Place. If you know Park Place, he ran down Park Place into town going, "I can run." And I've never seen him since. So if you see a guy running around, just send him my way, please. But you know, the Lord wants to use you to set people free. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be eloquent. Okay? You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to believe. You can do that, can't you? Are you ready? Here's the final one. I know these are very simple, but I think simple is the good way to go. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Faith hears God's word. Faith believes God's word. Faith speaks out God's word, and faith does God's word. And you are going to have opportunities this week to put into practice his word over your life. He is preparing and ordering your steps for you to do the works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. You're in the right job. You have the right neighbors. Your kids go to the right school. And there are opportunities in all those places. The final thing that I believe is going to help us grow in our life of faith might seem a little bit strange, but it's this. God wants us to be those who speak, who sow, who set free. And there's also a power for us to come into again in learning again to sing. A lot of words this morning came about victory and being in victory and all this kind of thing. If we know we're in victory, we can sing in the now. Psalm 100 verse 1 says, "Shout triumphantly to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love is eternal and his faithfulness endures throughout all generations. This is such a familiar scripture. This might be the scripture that's read the most in our church. It's read quite a lot. And I'm on a mission at the moment in my own life to make sure that I don't allow anything familiar to become forgotten. So I'm going through lots of things in the Bible that we might know really well, like Psalm 23 or Genesis chapter 1 or different bits. We're thinking, well, you hear it so often that it's easy to become familiar with it. And this is the psalm I'm looking at the moment because I don't want to lose any of its power just because I say it a lot. And the Lord was talking to me this week and saying, James, there's a big difference between saying thank you and giving thanks. There's a big difference between saying thank you and giving thanks. And one requires preparation. Anybody can say thank you. Your heart doesn't have to be right. Your mind doesn't have to be on it. But to come to him with thanks requires preparation. You see, the scriptures don't say enter his gates to say thank you. The scripture says enter his gates with thanksgiving. In other words, I've already got it before I arrive at the gate. Think about it this way. When you and I go to get on a train, or maybe we go to get on a plane, you have your passport. Whenever we go through passport control, everyone has their passport ready way ahead of time, don't they? You never see someone kind of, ready to give and they can't find it, or when they're having their ID taken. You're ready way ahead of time because the last thing you want to do is be delayed on your trip. But there's nothing greater than coming into God's presence. So what the preparation not to be all the more? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Just as you're alone with him this week, take the time not merely to talk to him about the challenges you're facing, talk to him about the obstacles that might be coming your way. Give him thanks for who he is and for what he's already done and for what he's promised you he will do. Do you know why? Because as we do that, we begin to see everything in right perspective. We begin to see him and his greatness. We begin to see how tiny his enemies are compared to him. We begin to see how amazing is his power. We begin to see how unfathomable is his grace. We begin to see that the challenge we're facing or that the opportunity we have is nothing compared with his power. There's a power in saying thank you to God. It releases us into greater experiences of his presence. Remember the leper who was healed. He came back to Jesus and said, thank you. And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Let's not stop short of wholeness, my friends. Let's be those who give thanks. So in our week, Heavenly Father, I pray, where we have opportunities to speak to those who don't know you, may we take them up. Yes. Where we have opportunities to sow and meet needs around us, may we do so cheerfully. May you use us this week to set people free, because your word says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. And find us a people who bring to you the thanks and praise that's due your name, for you and you alone, Lord Jesus, are our King. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, everyone.